We hear a couple of the verses from our gospel reading this morning from Luke 6. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, Jesus, after choosing his disciples and healing many in this great multitude that are following him around, watching him heal disease and cast out demons, he begins to focus on teaching these newly called disciples, or the 12, as they're sometimes called. And while there's a great many people that are present there, our reading comes from a section sometimes called Sermon on the Plain, because it's a sermon given where the ground is level. But he says, it says in Luke 6:20 that Jesus lifted up his eyes and looked at his disciples and spoke. So it's in the context of this sermon that Jesus gives that our text is set. And these words that Jesus gives reveal much about us and about our Lord. We usually think about Jesus preaching to us and his disciples as 100% gospel. No law. Especially in light of the fact that we know that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. He came to save all sinners. However, before receiving the good news of the gospel of all sins forgiven, it must be revealed to us that we are actually found as sinners. That we, like the disciples, are first brought to repentance before we can receive the great gift of absolution. This is the way the Catechism teaches about our Lord's gift of repentance. We must first have contrition and confess that we are sinners through and through, guilty, deserving both temporal or present and eternal punishment. But ultimately, in the gift of repentance, he gives the gift of faith, the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ alone. The Pharisees, scribes, and false teachers of the law were fixated on cleaning up the behavior of the sinner. They were the false teachers who devised numerous rules and regulation, most of them man-made, that they could follow in order to clean themselves up. Laws upon laws, you've heard them. There are many of the New Testament readings, especially the gospel readings. Outward ceremonies, washings. These are things that made them feel secure in themselves. They felt better than the guy next to them or the woman next to them. In their own false trust of themselves, they were secure in their own piety, their own self-discipline, so much so that they saw their prayers, their giving to the poor, and their fasting as earning credit before God, or merit. They were all about climbing up, ascending, progressing towards heaven, or climbing and ascending the ladder of holiness, if you will, through their own good works. None of this should surprise us, for this is always the way of our sinful flesh. And it always results in us trying to use God's law, not the way he's given it, but in order to make up laws, to try to use that law in order to justify ourselves. The story of Jesus tells in Luke 18 of the Pharisee trying to justify himself. You might remember there's the tax collector, and then there's who's a sinner, and then there's the Pharisee or the religious person. Well, the Pharisee in Jesus' story in Luke 18 says, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Well, the disciples, like this Pharisee, and like you and I, are sinners. Not just by what we do, by our actions, but because of who we are. This is our inherited condition from our first parents. Genesis 3. Jesus, in our reading this morning, is preaching both to them, his disciples and those hearing, and to us, unfolding for us what real love of God and neighbor looks like. Not something we've made up in our heads, but he tells us this is what love of neighbor is. And it's not just following external regulations, feeling smug and secure as good people who do a few good deeds, who are much better than those bad people over there. But when the law is preached in its fullness, when Jesus reveals it this way, it shows us that it's not merely outwardly doing things or our behavior that counts, but the motives of why we're serving one another are actually the main thing. So it's not simply behavior modification, but it's the law that exposes our heart before God and before one another. Luke 6, in our reading this morning. I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer also the other. And for the one who takes away your cloak, don't withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, don't demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do to them. He goes on and says, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? That word there is what grace or what credit. It's the same word used for grace right there. Because Jesus says even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do this. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back that same amount. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High. It's not good enough that I love my neighbor who's good to me, but that I love my enemies, those who are the most unlovable, those who hate me, those who revile me, those who, by loving, I stand to benefit or credit nothing. Real love shows love to those who don't deserve it. It lends to people who can't pay back anything and expects nothing in return. No public recognition, no extra points with God or neighbor. Give and keep giving. Love and keep loving. This is the teaching here from Jesus. And while we as sinners want to try and explain it away, make it a little less than what Jesus says here, make it easier to do, make it attainable, doable, Jesus actually blows this idea up. Because that's not the point of Jesus' teaching here. He's not trying to clean up or fix his disciples by giving some impossible teaching to them that he already knows, he's Jesus, that they can't do it. But he's showing us what it really means to fulfill the law. And it's infinitely more than we could ever think about doing in our sinful flesh. In fact, it's impossible. The law is given not to fix us or to make us holy by doing it, but it's given to accuse us. The law doesn't make or create the sinner. There's nothing wrong with the law. The problem is with us. And so the law finds us. It exposes us, giving us nowhere to hide. It calls a thing what it is. It calls sinners, sinners. The law outs us for the fraudulent good people that we think we are. St. Paul puts it this way. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Romans 3:19. Thus, rather than trying to explain away God's law, lessen its teaching, or make it doable, we must receive this as Jesus gives it, to shut us up about our good works and our own doing, that we might be brought to an end of ourselves and say with the disciples, this is impossible. who then can be saved? Thanks be to God that the law is not God's final word, but is a mean to his end. His end of our salvation, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus has come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it for you. He has come to do what you and I cannot do. He's come to set his face toward Jerusalem, as we'll hear again and again in the season of Lent coming up. He's come to be obedient unto death, even death on a cross. He's come to die for each and every sinner, and that includes you. His preaching of the law, then, isn't so that you would stay a sinner, condemned to death, but that he might come to you with his cross and speak this word of forgiveness that he won on that cross to you. That's the gospel. All of Epiphany season, as we're finishing it up, is then, as are really all seasons of the church here, are a revelation of who is this Jesus who comes to save you. He came to save you, Epiphany shows us, and the whole world. There's not one law-breaking sinner anywhere for whom Jesus did not die and shed his own blood for the forgiveness of all sin. For it's Jesus who truly loves his enemy. Those who in and of themselves give nothing back to him, as if he needed anything. He's God. He is silent before all those who strike him, those who beat him, those who nail him to the cross. Jesus turns the other cheek. As Isaiah says, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb led to slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so Jesus opened not his mouth. And it's Jesus who gives. He gives grace, we're told, upon grace, upon grace, upon grace, giving his gifts to those who deserve nothing but death and eternal damnation. But Jesus loves those who hate him, even those who kill him. Jesus loves and gives to sinners like you and me absolution, as we heard this morning, from him to you through the mouth of another sinner. Jesus came to set free, to make new. For where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. A sinner. Where there was a sinner, there is now a saint, one who is righteous, holy, and clean. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil, our text says. Romans 5:8, Paul puts it this way, that God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait until we got good, became great Christians, but in our sin, while we are still sinners, he went to the cross to forgive you. Jesus is merciful as his Father is merciful, for he is truly one with the Father and speaks this word to sinners. He only does so in speaking his word of law that he might give to you repentance and faith, that you would even this day receive this free gift of forgiveness of all your sins, that you might be given through that as gift to your neighbor, even your neighbors who don't love you, your family members who may not even like you, those who despise you. He speaks his word of forgiveness, and you're given to speak this word to your wife or your husband, to your children, to your grandchildren, to those whom the Lord has given his gift to you, to give this word that he gave to you and that he even gives to you today. He's given you to love and serve through faith in the one who died for your sin and raised you up with him in baptism to walk in newness of life, a life that only he can give, of abundance and grace upon grace. In the name of Jesus, amen.